But right now, restaurant debuts Mountain Dew Margarita. Well, don't mind the sound of that. Even the Danny Lakey, who's been almost 6 years sober, quite likes the restaurant-style Mountain Dew Margarita. It has debuted at a restaurant over in the US. They've teamed up with the PepsiCo company to create the Jew-garita, a margarita created with Mountain Dew soda, tequila, orange liqueur, and salt on the rim. According to the restaurant's website, the cocktail is rolled out across their numerous restaurants this month and is already proving to be a big financial success. And part of me gets very happy for the restaurant, thinking, oh, well done. Someone's obviously got a pay rise there coming up in the board meeting. Hey, guys, what about the Mountain Dew Margarita as a promotional special? And we'll see if that catches on. Like, well done. But like, the other half of me thinks, I could have thought of that. That was my gear. I could easily have done the Mountain Dew Margarita thing. I'm full of creations and ideas all the time. Why didn't I think of that one and pitch it to Sizzler or something at the salad bar? What an amazing idea. People are going nuts for it. Mountain Dew, such an underrated soft drink. One of those ones that you get quite excited when you go to KFC and pick up yourself a Zinger box. Like, oh, shit, that's right. That exists. Look at that big fluorescent glow-in-the-dark radioactive bottle over there. Oh, yeah, I'll treat myself to some Jew. Oh, go on, do the Jew. Do the Jew. Yeah, I will. And I'll add some orange liqueur, tequila, and salt on the rim for the Mountain Dew Margarita. It's a fantastic alcoholic drink invention. That's someone's idea. And I bet there are people out there that thought, and 133-53, what was your alcoholic creation? Because not all drinks are created equally. And sometimes you've got all the parts. You think, hey, what if I combine that and that, and maybe fuse that together, and maybe give it a funky name, and maybe I could trademark that, and that'll be your thing. I remember back in our uni days, back when I did used to drink, we'd buy a big old 4-litre sack of Fruity Lexia, but we'd also go to the IGA and buy a big tub of blue Powerade powder, and then we'd mix those together. And you think, oh yeah, not bad, bit of blue Powerade powder with a nice glass of Fruity Lexia. Well, wait till you hear the name. Blue Lagoon.
Whoa! Oh, nice.
Blue Lagoon, our little alcoholic concoction. And I know that's a cocktail name already, but we didn't know at the time. We were only 18. I used to work at Boost Juice as well, and we were 16. And remember back in the day, like wheatgrass used to be a big thing? People used to lose their shit for wheatgrass. No one cares about wheatgrass anymore. But right at the wheatgrass peak, right in the wheatgrass bubble, we combined vodka, 15 mils vodka, with 15 mils of wheatgrass shot, called it the Grasshopper.
Whoa! Get around me.
133-53.
Known around the Danny Lakey Show as Sober Wednesdays. But we'll just have one 10-minute session of alcoholism. It's time for...
Alcoholic Drink Creation.
Alcoholic drink creations on 133-53. What did you come up with? It's Alcoholic Wednesday for 10 minutes, all right? I know I don't drink anymore, but I can still reminisce in the hypothetical creations, the alcoholic concoctions. What did you combine for your idea? Calls on next. Danny Lakey Show.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Oasis fans, next week we are giving away their vinyl to celebrate 25 years of the release of What's the Story, Morning Glory. You don't want to miss that. That's happening next week on the Danny Lakey Show. But right now,
Wednesdays, known around the Danny Lakey Show as Sober Wednesdays. But we'll just have one 10-minute session of alcoholism. It's time for...
Alcoholic Drink Creation.
Dangerous for a sober boy like me for 6 years of sobriety. Hashtag every day is a struggle. Alcoholic creations. A restaurant in the US has debuted the Mountain Dew Margarita to a whole rye of success. People are lapping it up. People are loving it. And why wouldn't they? Mountain Dew soda, the people's soda, tequila, orange liqueur, and salt on the rim. Talked about my Blue Lagoon days. Good old Fruity Lexia that makes your booty sexier with a bit of blue Powerade powder mixed together. No hangovers, by the way. Don't even get me started on the fresh mornings you'd wake up after a heavy night on the lawnmowers, which is another concoction we cooked up when we used to work at Boost Juice. We nicked a whole heap of the wheatgrass shots and mixed that. 50% wheatgrass shots, 50% vodka. Lawnmowers, grasshoppers, whatever you want to call them. it was an alcoholic creation. Chris on 133353. A lot of calls coming through. You've got your own a little concoction that's yours?
Yeah, Danny, back in the day I was a professional cocktail bartender and I created one called a Comfortably Numb. And it had a nip of vodka, a nip of tequila, a nip of Bacardi, and a nip of Midori topped with pineapple juice.
Well, very nice. And I like that you've used the correct term, a nip. You know, not a full shot, just a nip, guys. You don't want to go overboard here. Chris knows his measurements.
Yeah, that's right. They sit you down as they are, mate.
Yes. It sounds very Long Island iced tea, but with the Chris touch.
Yeah, that's about right.
I like the marketing as well. This is a much better play on words than the Mountain Dew margarita. Comfortably numb, something that a lot of drinkers are seeking in this day and age, to be comfortable yet numb at the same time.
That's exactly right. That's what cocktails are all about, mate.
Oh, that is what a cocktail. That's the number one thing I want in a cocktail. Get me comfortably numb and get it with a couple of nips. Daniel, 133353, you've got an alcoholic creation.
Yeah, mate, it's called the MVK.
Ooh, okay. I'm intrigued. I'm listening. I'm considering breaking sobriety.
Yeah, a bit of milk, Bailey's, and Kahlua.
Oh, it's very dairy. It's very milky.
Yeah, the catch is the MVK is also the name of a big, large shopping centre in Bangkok.
Oh, right. I feel you're talking words and whimsies there. Like, this is a show that dares to push boundaries. So if you mean it's something else, you can say it's something else.
Oh, it's definitely not something else. But if you're over in Thailand.
Well, I have been. And it's pissing me off now because I have been over in Thailand. Are you talking about that multi-level sort of like hooker absolutely dungeon thing with all the bars and stuff?
That's the one.
Yeah, good times, good times. Yeah, but I mean, you must love your dairy. You must not have any tolerance at all, because I just feel like getting a little gassy on the milk Bailey's Kahlua setup.
Well, don't eat cheese then, mate.
Yeah, no, true. Not enjoyed with any cheese. If you've got a wheel of brie with Daniel's MBK, you've gone too far. Christian, 133353, your alcoholic creation?
Me and my brother and a mate created the Blue Bourbons.
Ooh, nice. So similar to my Blue Lagoon, it sounds like. I hope we're not treading on each other's toes here. We could have a little copyright argument going on. What's yours?
I'd prefer my one. It's bourbon on the bottom. Mm. Fill it up with some lemonade and then top it off with some blue Curacao. Just let it soak through.
Yeah, nice. This is a man who knows his orderings as well. I mean, you wouldn't even dream about putting the blue Curacao at the bottom and then sloshing it around. No.
Doesn't work the same.
This is a man who's an artiste. A lot of calls coming through on 133353. Who would I be to stand in the way of people's alcoholic concoctions? Want to get to Sean next? You're on hold. I know you can hear me, Sean. Your Jack Daniels and milk set up. Andy, Clint, Chris, whole heap more next on Triple M.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M. Wednesdays, known around the Danny Lakey Show as Sober Wednesdays. But we'll just have one 10-minute session of alcoholism. It's time for...
Alcoholic Drink Creations.
Yeah, what a typical recovering alcoholic move by me as well, to keep pushing for more calls of alcoholic drinks. Like, either pre-meeting, oh, just 10 minutes of this, guys, it's going to be all right. Like, it won't get me too excited. Now, look, can we do 15? Can we do 15 minutes? Can we go a bit more? Robin on 133353. Through, coming through, hot, Major Tom. What's your alcoholic creation?
Hi, my alcoholic creation is not probably a cocktail, but it's one that I make at work that people really like. You probably couldn't sell it in a restaurant, but it's Bailey's on the top, Midori on the bottom, layered beautifully, and it's called a shit on the grass.
Oh, nice. I like it when my cocktail has a naughty word in it. That was why I was raised on Sex on the Beaches for so... Well, Jesus. All right, guy. Someone else trying to butt in on our alcoholic conversation back there, Rob Dog. I like
Sorry,
it.
That was my UHF. Yeah. I'm in the car.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, that much is apparent. I like it. I like that it's layered. I like that the colours match the name. You could definitely sell this in a restaurant. And to be honest, I think it does classify as a cocktail as well. I wouldn't sell yourself so short, Robin. Sometimes a lady needs to get out of her own way if she wants to market this alcoholic drink and make a profit. Andy in Cairns, what's your alcoholic creation?
Yeah, it's Jack Daniels. Mountain Dew and Jägermeister.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very nice. In any order, any measurements, or you just sort of eyeball it and see what's right at the time?
It's whatever is on the shelf in my bar.
One of the great... All the best bartenders throw the measuring devices out the window. They don't need those little shots.
There's no fingers involved.
No fingers at all. This is a man who was ahead of the Mountain Dew margarita. This is the guy who saw this drink as something with potential way before this US restaurant's Magna Mozza. Oh, so many calls, but I can only go one more. Sean, what's your alcoholic creation?
G'day, Danny. Love the show, mate.
Thank you.
Way back when I was in the Navy, there was a JD promotion night in the mess, and there was a prize for who could come up with the most unusual drink involving Jack Daniels. Mm. And I came up with JD and milk, which curdles after a couple of minutes, so it ends up more like JD flavoured ricotta cheese. And then after a couple of them, you end up being Herb the Porcelain Bus Driver.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I got a T-shirt out of it.
One of the great porcelain bus drivers. I love a drink that congeals so quickly you need a spoon to actually finish it off. The JD and milk. Danny Lakey Show. Pretty soon we'll talk about this hot Mongolian man.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
How is this headline? Scientists discover that not all rats like to be tickled. Not all of them. Hashtag not all rats. Most rat aficionados are aware of the idea that rats enjoy being tickled and will laugh when stimulated. This is the article. This is my opinion, by the way. I don't know if that was common knowledge before I just said it. Like, I never realised that rats wanted to be tickled. I would have tickled more rats if I knew in my time. But turns out that's not a blanket statement for all rats. Researchers at the University of Bristol took a closer look at the laughing rat phenomenon to determine if the rodents actually like to be tickled. So they tickled some rats and monitored their high-pitched vocalizations. Well, that's the other thing. Just because you're laughing whilst you've been tickled doesn't mean you're enjoying it. The researchers found not all rats like to be tickled and that some rats emitted very high numbers of calls whilst others did not. And these calls are directly related with their emotional experience. Interesting. That's the statement from the University of Bristol as of Monday. So that's all the rat goss that I've got. But we know that science is tested on rats first, and then we have to take things a step further for us to move on as a society.
Science. Scientists have discovered that not all rats like being tickled.
Yeah, and we don't appreciate being attributed to the bubonic plague either. Like 500 years ago. I don't know those guys.
Okay, it's enough. In light of this new science, we thought we'd extend the research to a full-blown tickle audit. Do all people like tickling? How often do you tickle? When was the last time you were tickled? Are you tickling now? The big questions of science answered in Danny Lakey's Tickle Audit.
As far as I know, it is the Australian first tickle audit, the tickling consensus, where we need healthy volunteers on 133353 to call up and chat tickling. Give us the tickle talk. Talk to us about if you are ticklish, how often are you tickling? Did you date someone in the past that used to tickle you a lot? Where are your ticklish spots? I like what Audio Digby said in there as well. Are you tickling someone right now? Like, are you mid-tickle? It was stop tickling. Call up with the 133353 for the tickle audit, because it's information that we need to know, because I had no idea that rats like to be tickled. And to be honest, I wouldn't be able to tell you whether us humans as a human race overwhelmingly like to be tickled or we hate to be tickled. It's a very confusing thing because it looks like we love it, but I've heard that we hate it. Like when I get tickled, if you pin me down and tickle the bottoms of my feet, I will look like I'm responding very positively, much like a lot of these rats. But inside, I will be wanting to kick your face. Like there's nothing worse than starting to date a new chick and she's like, ooh, and you're like asking all those questions like, oh, how many brothers and sisters do you have? Oh, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite movie? Are you ticklish? Oh, are you ticklish? Oh, you're ticklish, aren't you? Oh my God, you're ticklish. You are ticklish. Where are you ticklish? Oh my God, I'm ticklish. I love ticklish people. Oh, I'm going to tickle you next time you're not looking. I'm going to tickle you. Well, don't do it. Because I hate being tickled. It's very annoying. I'll have to put on my bravest face. I will call their ticklers bluff. And I'll say, no, I'm not ticklish. No, I'm not one of those tickling people. No, full well, I am ticklish. And then she'll do a test tickle. She'll test to see if I do start laughing. And I've never been so more focused in my life than in those first 5 seconds. I think it's set the precedence now, mate, to save yourself a lifetime of tickling hell. And I keep a straight face and she backs off. She backs off on the tickle. This is good data, by the way. We need more data like this. 133353. Tate, are you ticklish Tate? Tickly Tate?
I hate a tickle. I don't understand what's enjoyable about it. It's just annoying.
I'm writing down here, Tate hates to be tickled. Where are your ticklish spots?
I'm not telling you. No,
I'm not going to tickle you. I'm not going to tickle you. It's for the data.
For the data, sure.
Ticklish feet?
You know, a good like knee sort of tickle? Like that zingy like...
Okay.
Knee squeeze?
Oh, knee squeeze. Okay, I'm writing this down in my data. Responds negatively to knee squeeze.
Yep.
We need more tickle data on 133353. It's the Australian Tickle Audit. Are you tickling? Are you being tickled? Where are your ticklish spots? Volunteers needed. Calls next.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M. Scientists have discovered that not all rats like being tickled.
Yeah, and we don't appreciate being attributed to the bubonic plague either. It's like 500 years ago. I don't know those guys.
Okay, it's enough. In light of this new science, we thought we'd extend the research to a full-blown tickle audit. Do all people like tickling? How often do you tickle? When was the last time you were tickled? Are you tickling now? The big questions of science answered in Danny Lakey's Tickle Audit.
Look, this is a mammoth undertaking. As far as I'm concerned, no one in Australia has been willing to take the bull by the horns and gather this data on tickling. Are Australians a nation of ticklers? Do we enjoy being tickled? Where are our ticklish spots? They've done it on rats, and now it's time for the experiment to move on to humans. And 133353, Danny Lakey is very proud to be funding the Australian Tickle Audit. I do not like to be tickled. I have a few sensitive spots. Although I look like I'm enjoying the tickling, please do not tickle me. Tatey180 out there on the phones filling in for Shuey Louie tonight hates being tickled. She doesn't like a knee squeeze. She detests a knee squeeze. This is all important data. And Jenny from Glenorchy, Tasmania. Hello.
Hello, Danny.
Well, I thought you'd call for this one. They call you the Tasmanian tickler. You're notorious for going around tickling people in shopping centres, surely.
Yes. How would you know?
Do you love being tickled?
No.
No. Ooh, a dark turn, a dark twist. Not many people do. All the data suggests that none of us do at the moment.
Yeah.
Where are your ticklish spots? What are your memories of being tickled that you dislike?
No, I can't bear even. I don't let people tickle me there. But I can't even bear running my fingers along that particular area myself because the sensation, I'm very sensitive there.
Ooh.
It's the soles of my feet.
Ooh, okay.
Can't stand people touching my feet.
So, and I'm putting this in the spreadsheet. Jenny hates being tickled on the feet so much she wouldn't even dare tickle herself.
Yes, that's right.
It's a big call. Sometimes you can't tickle yourself, but you do have the power. You've got very powerful fingers, but very sensitive feet, sounds like there, Jenny.
Yes.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad that you're not using those powerful tickling fingers for evil. Sounds like you've got it all under control down there.
Well, it all depends on whether the occasion arises.
The Tasmanian tickler, ladies and gentlemen. Graham, 133353. This is important data that we're gathering. So far, I'm going to go out with the hypothesis that we are not a nation of ticklers. Do you enjoy the thrill of the tick?
Not really, mate. Look, I the back of my knees, my feet, bottoms of my feet, and around my ribs. Oh, you can take my breath away if you tickle me.
Wow. And I'm writing that down. Potential to take Graham's breath away.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
Yeah. You go too hard and, you know, like you're laughing that much. It's just...
Yeah, it's a very bizarre way that us humans react to the tickle because every other sense suggests that we are loving the tickle, that we cannot get enough of the tickle. I mean, if we didn't hate the tickle so much, you'd laugh.
Exactly.
Talk us through the back of the knee stuff. Is this a little wandery spirit fingers tickle that you don't like or a knee squeeze, much like Tatey 180?
Oh, no, just light touch, you know, just my girlfriend used to give me a massage, and she'd get down the back of the knees, and she'd just run her fingers very lightly, and it'd be,
he's reliving it. He's reliving a few memories there. Yes, no, well, I'll write that down. We heard what happens if Graham gets tickled. I remember, it takes me, even at the massage centres at the moment, they'll run their fingers lightly, sort of up my hindquarters, near my testicle area. It's very ticklish, but I make the same sort of noises that Graham makes just then. Patrick, 01-333-53. We're getting a lot of data, guys. I can't thank you enough for everyone coming to the tickle party tonight. Don't take that the wrong way. Where are you ticklish? What's going on?
As an adult, I have absolutely no memory of anyone actually ever trying to tickle me. So I can only guess.
No, the man who's never been tickled. It's so rare.
I imagine I would have been tickled a few times as a kid, but I've got no memory of it as an adult.
Well, the data is throwing up a lot of curveballs here, because you can't be assuming that you were tickled as a kid. If you can't remember the tickling, I'm going to have to record it down as you weren't tickled. It's as simple as that.
All right.
Wrap this up, Aaron. 1-333-53. The final piece of the data puzzle. What's your tickling?
I've been tickled in the past, and I absolutely hate it. My most ticklish spots are my ribs and the bottoms of my feet.
There's some common zones that I see all too often in my data, which is not good. Do you have memories of being tickled?
Well, I know, like, when I get tickled in the ribs, I look like I'm getting electrocuted.
Yeah, I see. It sounds like they're going too hard. And it's called a rib, it's called a rib tickler, but there's nothing funny about it.
No, there's nothing funny about it at all.
They get their nails right under your cage.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, they do.
What's happening? The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Sad day for rugby union. After 30 years as the major sponsor of the Wallabies, Qantas is ending its deal. No good. Australia's rugby's year from hell just got a whole lot worse after Qantas's decision to end its 30-year sponsorship of the Wallabies. I mean, that's all I've ever known. It's always been the Qantas Wallabies. Ever since back in my John Eales days, watching the Bledisloe Cup with my dad, all the way through, seeing little George Gregan nipping it out in the scrum. Right through to these days, you'd see the big Qantas on the front. Oh, God, you know they're up the front in business class. You know they're living the union lifestyle. She'll be no more. Any sports league, we know, is built on three key pillars. Lucrative broadcast deal, long-term major sponsor, and a huge star to act as the face of the game. And in the past year and a half, Rugby Australia have lost all three. Of course, Izzy Folau, he was the first to go. He was the big face, wasn't he? He was the money man. He got a big payout to get out the door. Then broadcast partner Foxtel, they opted not to extend its deal either. Where are you going to watch it? Where are you going to watch it on TV? And then the major sponsor now, Qantas, has cut ties with the co. The national airline will end its financial support in December due to cuts in spending due to COVID-19.
Coronavirus!
What Rugby Australia need is a rebrand. They need a big, heavy hitter major sponsor, preferably an Aussie airline. They need a new face and they need a broadcast partner. And I think we've got the pitch for Rugby Australia.
2020. Challenging for everyone, including the Wallabies.
This is no ordinary year.
Rugby Australia presents the Jetstar Wallabies. With a familiar face returning to the game.
If I end up getting a gig, mate, I'll be going off with a cut snake.
The Honey Badger.
Yeah, good. Buddy, you beauty. Look,
And it's all live and free on SBS.